Good morning. I wonder if any of you can think of an experience in which you believed you really knew someone, perhaps subconsciously believed you really knew someone, that you didn't. And something happened, something this person maybe said or did, made you realize you didn't know them the way you thought you did. For many people this week, that happened with Robin Williams, a beloved actor who committed suicide. For many of us growing up watching his films or who knew his comedy, we think of Robin Williams as a ball of sunshine, someone who brings laughter and kindness and humor. And his death was abrupt and disturbing for many people. This was not what we expected, and not the man we thought we knew. And we're reminded, I don't think anyone in this room knew Robin Williams personally. We often develop bonds with people who impact our lives in ways that are hard to let go of when we have created someone in our image. I think for many of us as Christians, we do this with Jesus. I don't know if your mental image of Jesus is much like mine, but my Jesus tends to be very thoughtful and very kind. He tends to be a champion of the oppressed and defend the downtrodden. He dines with tax collectors and heals lepers that no one else will even approach. He is healthy and strong and probably has very nice white teeth. He's basically Captain Amazing in sandals. And then today's gospel lesson comes across our path. And I don't know how you heard this text, but for me, it brings my divinely flawless Jesus to an awkward and crashing halt. It's an unexpected turn that throws many Christians off their game. It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs, Jesus says. In case you were hoping that dogs might secretly be a compliment, my study Bible at home actually dedicates a footnote to ensure readers know that calling someone a dog is an insulting term, as opposed to that time in history when it was a compliment. But his words here echo an earlier passage in Matthew in which Jesus urges his disciples, "Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine." But who is he calling a dog here? This is a desperate woman who travels to Jesus, seeking only to free her small daughter from torment of demons. She is begging at the feet of the only man she believes can help her. Jesus not only ignores her at great length, but when she makes herself unignorable, he degrades her verbally and publicly. To be frank, this does not sound like my Captain Amazing in sandals. This sounds like a jerk. And I don't like this Jesus. Ever tempted to salvage him, we may say here, well, he doesn't mean to discriminate against this woman. He is testing her faith. And I'm not saying that isn't possible. It may be a test of faith, but it is uncommon in the healing ministry of Jesus that he administers a pop quiz before healing someone in need. That also doesn't sound like my Captain Amazing Jesus. And so we are uncomfortable. We are, I think many of us, disturbed by this Jesus. And this morning I would like to invite you to spend some time in that discomfort and let today's passage confound you. I suggest that there is perhaps powerful possibility in this place of unrest and uncertainty for us, and that the encounter between Jesus and the woman becomes an invitation to understand the gospel better. Did you catch Jesus' first words in this passage? They probably sounded strange to you if you did. He says to his disciples, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That's not the story we know today. And if that's the way Jesus' ministry had played out, many of us would not be in this room today. I would not be in this room today. But in Matthew, this is exactly why Jesus believes he was sent. Matthew goes through great lengths to draw parallels between Jesus and Moses, the original liberator of the Hebrew people. Jesus is the new Moses, the Messiah, who is sent to liberate God's chosen people, the house of Israel, again, this time from the bondage of sin. Like the woman with the lost coin, or the shepherd with the lost lamb, Jesus in this gospel believes he is sent to reclaim the Jewish people. At this point in the story, there is as yet no new covenant in his blood. Not blood shed for all people. And this woman we know in the text is not Jewish. She's Canaanite. She's Greek. She is outside Jesus' jurisdiction, you might say. Not only is she not his problem, but the Jews were often repulsed by the Greek people as being shameless and impure, as worshiping false gods and idols. Therefore, he says, it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. The woman responds, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Biblical commentators call this woman's persistence and cleverness what wins Jesus over. They hail her for these qualities, and yet I would like to invite you to see her words as something other than clever. I don't think this woman is being clever. I think she's being courageous. This woman is saying to Jesus, if I'm allowed to paraphrase, "I have come to you, believing in you, believing in your miraculous power, asking you to heal my demon-possessed daughter, my little girl, and you first ignore and then insult me." I think maybe you've been around humans a little too long. I think you are having a failure of imagination, and I think you underestimate God's power. I think you underestimate the fullness of God's plan. Let me remind you, to heal my Greek daughter will take nothing from the Jewish children. Right? Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I'm not taking from anyone. I'm not asking to take from anyone. What she is saying is that God's healing ministry and God's plan is so abundant that it can be for all people while taking from no one. There are no limits on God's power or love. And she calls Jesus to task. She directly challenges a man she believes is so powerful he can heal her daughter from a distance. When Jesus suggests she is trying to steal spiritual food from the rightful children, she calls him out and stakes her claim in God being bigger. That is not clever. That is incredible. She is respectful and supplicant, but a voice from the outside calling God bigger, calling God to be more, and frankly, calling Christ to be more. Can that really be what's happening in this story? And if so, what does that mean? What do we find in our place of unrest and discomfort with this Jesus? I wonder, for one, if this story is a rare window into what it meant to Jesus to be human as he was divine. Our experience of humanity is that it is bound up inextricably with sin. And Jesus, while divine, is also human in this story and is affected by his humanity. Not only his own humanity, but here we find also this strange impression that this woman, outside of his faith, planted a seed in Jesus that altered the entire course of his ministry in this gospel. He expands from saying, "I am sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," to the communion story that we hear today. "This is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin." His blood now reconciles the whole of creation to God, just as the Isaiah text foretells. Jesus' commendation of this woman's courage and faith and the subsequent healing of her daughter is incredible in this story. He is moved, changed, and himself reconciled. And we can understand and learn from him in new ways in this strange jerk move. Similarly, this woman is one of the most beloved characters in the New Testament for me personally. She reminds me of every voice that is outside what was once the old covenant. In the case of Christian history, there remain voices that yet are treated as outside voices. And this text calls to those voices and calls to all who believe they are an inside voice about how we speak and how we listen. And I find this text incredibly promising and affirming of people who feel they have been on the outside or are still on the outside. And inside voices that intimidate us, be they scholars or pastors or theologians, Jesus himself in this text, when someone tells you there is not enough for you, and what you want is only possible by taking away from someone else, this text invites and in fact calls you to say, "No. God's grace is sufficient for all people, even the outsiders," right? God's love is bigger than you have imagined, and I stake my claim in that gospel. And that, Christ tells us, is a great faith. It is a faith that provides us with healing not only for ourselves, but for our daughters and for our sons. And even if it means that I have to let go of Captain Amazing in sandals, I'll make that trade. And I'll do it so that I can come and kneel at this table. And even when I feel like an outsider, I will know that the food is abundant, that God's mercy and God's grace is abundant and overflows from the table. And no one is left hungry, and healing is for all people. Amen.